Thank my guests for getting up early and joining us this morning. Molly Parker, she's a writer for the Southern Illinois. First off, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom. Thank you.
I don't
you.
See ink all over your fingers from the overnight printing press.
Well, I had the weekend off.
Oh, okay. All right. That's it. Well, you haven't had much time off when it comes to this story. I've got to tell you, Molly, I've been reading the work that you've been doing on the housing developments. What's the proper word? I mean, I know there's like more than one location, but should we call it the Alexander County Housing Authority?
It is technically the Alexander County Housing Authority, right. Headquartered in Cairo.
Right. But the homes that are, there's a couple of different ones, Elmwood, and there's more than one location that's involved in this story.
That's correct. There are several complexes that the countywide housing authority operates, including the two in question, Elmwood and McBride.
Those are the two where the worst offenses have been committed?
Yes.
As it very often we find that whenever there's something really wrong, it didn't happen overnight. I think this is the case in Cairo. Can you go back and take us to a year plus ago when the local authorities were in control and the conditions that existed there in Cairo?
When I began covering this story, our first story published in August of 2015, as I understand it, HUD had been stepping up its review process around April of that year and had hired an interim executive director out of Jefferson County to come in and help out down there. That individual, Tom Upchurch is his name, said when he got there, they were about to shut the lights off. They hadn't paid their electric bill so long. Things were complete shambles financially. And we got a tip about what was going on and began. It's been about 18 months of stories that we've done since then.
Right. Now, he went. There were a lot of questions about money. And then D.C. took over about a year ago. Well, right at a year ago.
Right at a year ago on February 22nd of 2016. So HUD has been running that housing authority and receivership for a full year now.
All right. Let's go back just a bit. We kind of glazed over a portion here, and that is things as they were a year ago and the things they are now. They haven't changed very much. What are the things? What are the conditions that they find at the Alexander County Housing Authority? As I said, there's two particular locations that we're talking about in Cairo itself that house 2,500 people is a number I saw. I think that's just total number in Cairo living is 2,500.
Yeah, I would say about a quarter of the population of Cairo now lives in public housing. According to the mayor, it now may be closer to a half.
Right. I mean, from town that in 1930, 1920, if I remember from your article, had 15,000 people, now has 2,500, less than 2,500 people living in it. Okay, what are the conditions at the housing authority?
The two housing authorities that are the most troubled, and that's where the families live with children in these two apartment complexes. Rats, mice, mold, extreme mold, not the kind you can just wipe off and it's gone. It just keeps coming back. We documented in our story that published Sunday examples that people have given of toilet water leaking down from the second floor into the kitchen. Electrical problems, residents getting shocked when they touch the outlets, kids putting their hands on hot wires and things like that. It's a really bad situation. Those buildings probably should be condemned at this stage.
When I read your original reports, I had an overwhelming desire to go take a bath. It's interesting. When I read your, I was very compelling writing. And so I'm reading this and I'm going, why are we letting people live this way in government housing? If I was a landlord and I had people living in that home, the government would be up my rectum saying, you can't do this. You know, you're going to be fined. You must fix. But when the government does it, see, that's one of the things that I think bothers me the most is that if somebody else does this, but when the government does it, it's like this flaming bag of failure that no one wants to catch, no one wants to hold, and no one wants to fix. Didn't they receive $20 million in 16? $20 million.
That was one of our stories documented that from Senator Kirk's office at the time. I had looked into that, and HUD continued to give them money despite documenting problems that went back at least 5 years, and certainly longer. Those buildings did not decay overnight.
Right.
That is a decades-long decay of those facilities, but certainly they accelerated the problem by refusing to put the money where it was supposed to go for those residents.
Where does the money go? Because I read one story that you penned. Now, you had a co-author, Isaac Smith, is that right?
Yeah, Isaac Smith and I worked together on this latest
And one of the stories, once I read it, and I had to go back to the beginning and read it again, then I had to go back to the beginning and read it again, and my takeaway was they paid people money not to work because it saved them money.
And I'm wondering if in our first story, this Chaos and Caro series that kicked off from this first story, we talked about people getting retirement contracts. They were given buyouts to not work. So one example was an individual was giving $15,000 as a buyout, yes, to not work, and then was kept on the payroll for once or twice a week and was given health insurance. And these aren't buyouts that are appropriate for a housing authority that was about to have to shut the lights out.
But the way it was presented in the quotes from the people you spoke to, it saved them money by giving the money and not getting anything for it.
That was former director James Wilson's defense of what he had done.
That was the guy before Upchurch.
That's correct.
Right.
That was the longtime director down there, also a mayor for about 12 years.
So conditions are terrible. For how many people, Molly?
I want to say around 400 have lived in those units. I don't know what the exact count is right now.
One of the fears is that the people would leave. They want them to stay. And this is the housing they provide because this is Carol's withering in a very real sense.
And when you talk to the mayor, trying to do his best down there to turn Carol around. And if they lose the housing, if they have to condemn those buildings before they've built something new, then you won't have Carol. You will lose another half of your population. And the school district's student population is about half the kids. They live in these two complexes. So you'll have a gutted school district, you know, then they have to face, can they continue operating? They're already struggling. So, you know, that's the question. But the other side of that is, can a private developer come in there and build something? Because right now that's how that's done. And so but, how do you attract somebody to Caro?
I actually tracked down a guy who used to live in Caro, worked at the railroad down there. And he says, I felt like they chased me out of town. I felt like I was not wanted there. He moved to Marion, Illinois and opened a business. I've talked to a number of people, all of them white, by the way, who said I got out because I did not feel welcome. And we're not talking about black-white relations. We're talking about financially, the community saying I had to get out. We didn't have any choice. And I think when people started leaving, that infrastructure started wilting underneath them too. Less money, you know how it is. You don't want people to leave. But what's next?
That's where we are right now, and there's no easy answers on that. And I think there's historical racial tensions in Caro. I think some of that still goes on. I also think it's at this point evolved into a tension between the haves and the have-nots, and people who have been able to take advantage of those who are financially dependent on the government, and then those who have used that to their advantage. And I think it crosses racial lines on both sides. You have certainly poor white and black people, and you've had black and whites involved in the mismanagement of the ACHA. Just to clarify that, I can't speak to your concerns about people being run out of town. I know the mayor down there is...
Well, he didn't say run out of town. Not welcome.
Not welcome.
I think for lack of anybody, I'm just not welcome here anymore.
And I don't know what that's about. I don't know. Caro has a lot to offer. It's a great piece of property. There's some wonderful people down
there.
Well,
as Brad Cole, the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League, has told me on multiple, especially here live on the air, is think about Caro this way. The only, the confluence of two major rivers, the only place in the United States of America that is not an economic center. And it's Caro.
And I think as a region, we ought to try to figure out why and what we can do about it, because it's a great opportunity. And then people shouldn't be living like they are down there.
Right. Because it's the responsibility of HUD to take care of this. And right now, HUD doesn't have a director. And HUD seems like they've dropped the ball. But the sheriff's about to change whenever they get the confirmation for Carson.
So, it'd be a great opportunity for Dr. Carson to come in. And
I can already plan. I plan on intentionally reaching out to him myself.
I hope
and
you
sharing
do.
The information with him myself, and with the White House. That's just part of what I'm going to do today after speaking with you, because this is bad for us all. It's bad for them, and quite frankly, I feel ashamed.
I'm sure you would join me in welcoming Dr. Carson to Southern Illinois. We'd be happy
absolutely.
To give him a tour
around
sure, here.
Come on over. Like to see you. And give you lots of airtime to talk about what you want to do, but please come here and see what's going on and fix it. $20 million, which they received in 2016, should be able to fix a host of horrible errors.
$7 million is what the needs assessment resulted in that they would need to get those up to immediate standards. So, yeah, you could have done a lot with that money. And
right.
I don't know where it went. In fairness, they do manage some other complexes that are not in, that are adequate condition.
Right.
So it's not that they we're not suggesting they squandered all $20 million. I don't know what they the dollar figure is. They're still trying to figure that out.
I'm anxious to see what happens next and see some relief come. By the way, thanks to the Southern Illinois naming in the Reader's Choice Awards, the New Country Z100, the best radio station, Reader's Choice number one, and our other radio station, CILFL, number two.
So congratulations, and very well deserved.
Yeah, the Southern Illinois writer Molly Parker.